Now, this phrase, the first doctrinal assertion that we've discussed so far in the Buddhist tradition, poses a problem for us. It's not easy to interpret. If you know Buddhist people, if you are a Buddhist person, you know that the Buddhist tradition is not filled with sadness. It's not a depressive, downbeat tradition. In many respects, it has a kind of lightness and a kind of buoyancy. Buddhist people, the Dalai Lama, for example, if you've seen him speaking on the television or see him in person, has a certain kind of lightness in his personality that allows him to simply float through the world. He expresses it with a smile. I wish I could somehow capture that exquisite smile of the Dalai Lama for myself and pass it on to you, because it conveys something important about the Buddhist tradition. Buddhism is light, it's buoyant, it's easy. It almost floats as a religious tradition through the complexity of this world. So the basic assertion in the Four Noble Truths, the assertion that all is suffering, poses an interpretive dilemma for us. How do you get from this claim, the claim that all is suffering, to the buoyancy and the lightness of Buddhist experience? That's our challenge. That's the interpretive challenge we have as we first try to step into the world of Buddhist doctrine. The first way to start to answer this question for ourselves is to note that the tradition, the ancient tradition of Buddhist teaching, interprets the phrase all is suffering in three separate ways. Everything is suffering in one or more of three ways. The first of these types of suffering is called dukkha dukkha, suffering suffering. The obvious suffering in situations where things cause you physical or mental pain. The second kind of suffering is called viparinama dukkha, suffering due to transformation or change. This means that even the most pleasurable things, and sometimes the most pleasurable things, can cause you suffering when they begin to change and pass away. The third kind of suffering is samkara dukkha, suffering due to conditioned states. This category of dukkha, of suffering, is associated with pleasurable things that can cause pain even in the midst of the pleasure, if that pleasure is based on an illusion about the nature of the object or even about the nature of the self. Now, when I'm speaking with students at Boston University about these three kinds of suffering, I try to illustrate them by constructing a parable that may sound simply contemporary, but actually it's related in an important way to Buddhist examples that are often used to explain the nature of suffering, especially in its philosophical mode. This is a parable about an automobile, an American automobile. Our classroom at Boston University is often right on the street on Commonwealth Avenue, where there's a lot of traffic. And as you know, if you've been hanging around in universities these days, there are a lot of students who drive fast, impressive automobiles. Boston University, don't tell anybody this, but I think they're often associated with the business school. In any case, they're roaring up and down the avenue in these great black cars with the sound systems blaring. And I've talked to, you know, we look out the window. Usually it's early in the morning. There probably aren't too many cars out there at that point, but we imagine that the cars are roaring up and down the avenue, and we imagine scenarios in which the car might cause some kind of suffering. First of all, we've got a guy in the automobile driving down the street. He sees his girlfriend on the sidewalk. He waves to her and runs into the back of an MBTA bus. Stopped at the bus stop in front of the university. The metal thuds against metal. There's a huge crash. And what he feels in his bones is dukkha, dukkha, suffering, the palpable physical suffering of an automobile accident. That's easy to understand.